And remember, if you ever reference anything that we teach or taught on, we reference the old book, but the paragraphs are always the same. The page numbers are not the same.
Okay.
That one's about 3 pages off because they used either bigger font or smaller font, one of the two. But the paragraph numbers are always the same.
That's why they didn't do that. I mean, they could have stayed in sequence with the other books.
Well, you know what, though? If you buy a machine and then it got upgraded to where now in a computer to fit it in so many pages.
Yeah, that's true.
It's money, really, more than anything, to keep from having a volume that big. Now they can condense it into that. They save half the paper. So,
yeah.
You know, that's kind of, it goes down to a cost thing. Everything goes down to a cost thing.
I have to open it up to that.
All right, let's turn to Philippians 2. I found where we were at. We've been so long since I've been down here. So let's start, excuse me. Good to have Nate and Sister Caitlin with us today.
Yes, ma'am.
And congratulate them because she is with child. So she's going to have a baby. We can kiss on the cheek. And she said, we'll see.
Georgia.
But anyway, all right. So let's get here to where we're talking now. We're just going through the book of Philippians, and then when we get done, we're going to start through the book of Revelation. That's what we wanted to do, right? Okay, we'll start through the book of Revelation. And that may take a while, but that's okay. Do all things, let's go to chapter 2, verse 14. We got it here on the board. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Now, what is Paul doing? Paul is talking to the people in Philippi, or the Philippians. And he's exhorting them as Christians that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. So he was standing there in the midst of a crooked and perverse. Hey, Ellie! Glad you brought your grandparents with you today. So, now, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So, as the eternal Word of God, hey, baby, as the eternal Word of God, we see that we do the same thing now. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So that's you now, today. I love the eternal quality of the Word. It can be written 2,000 years ago and still applied directly to us today.
Right.
All right. Holding forth the Word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now what's he saying? He has brought these people to Christ, and he has not labored in vain because he's going to be... connected with, as Brother Branham went across the curtain of time, and he was connected with all those people across the curtain of time. They said, we're resting on that. What Brother Branham said. They came in receiving the new birth and received the message and was put in the sixth dimension. Right? So same way with Paul. Neither labored in vain. That's the same way with, you talk about, I don't want to talk about it, but you do. You talk about people that like Brother Dale and different ones that have been 50 years in the message, and he still holds fast, and he nurtures all of us. And here the church is growing. Now numbers don't mean anything, but two, you got to remember, numbers do mean something.
Right.
You know, to God, God knows the number, we don't. But to be successful is that Brother Dale brings you to Christ, not to him, brings you to Christ, and then Christ and you commune back and forth. But it takes a fivefold ministry in between that to filter all the junk out, and all your junk, our junk, not God's junk.
Right.
But our filters our junk out, and then turns us to the right path, as we were talking last night about why God sent a prophet. God sends prophets to what? Steer us back to the Word of God. Not change the Word, but steer us back to the Word of God.
Right. Right?
So that's what Brother Branham came for. His sole purpose was not to get us saved.
That's right.
No. That's been happening since Christ's day.
Right.
He didn't come to tell us how to dress. That's already been imprinted in the Bible for 1,500 years. He didn't tell us all those things that people thought for 50 years people have been trying to get us to be legalist.
Right.
No, that's not it. Brother Brown's message came to bring us to Christ.
Amen.
And if he'll bring you to Christ, I said if, that's a question for you.
Right.
If he'll bring you to Christ, then you'll know where he stood as a prophet, and you'll understand that the words he spoke was God's words to us, to line us back up. All right, all the, what do you call it, loose ends. the doctrinal issues, not the doctrinal issues of hair and dress, no. Water baptism, all those things, yeah, they had to be brought back. But his message was to bring us to a place of perfection, a body change, a place to where we don't have to die, a place to where this message becomes so alive in you that it's just like Jesus Christ walking on the face of the earth. And we got to believe that.
Amen.
We got to say, I and my Father are one. All right? And we come from God and we go back to God.
Amen.
Remember John 17, Jesus said, I pray thee that they may be one as you and I are one. So if Jesus and the Father were one person, we got to connect to that. All right? And that didn't happen down through the ages because what? Man had took little tidbits, little snippets, and they said, no, this is Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. There is an eternal hell. So it took God to bring a prophet to line back up. Just like in Paul's day, it took a prophet to bring from the Old Testament. Because that's all Paul had. Remember, Paul was writing the New Testament. He didn't read the New Testament. He was writing it. He was writing it, though, from the Old Testament that he took and God, what? Through the filter of the Holy Ghost that was in Paul, took the Old Testament, run it through Paul, and then he made the New Testament. And as we said last night, we're talking about the New Testament in my blood. Paul could die. Paul died, but he didn't die for anybody. Jesus Christ died for it. He died for me. I don't know if he died for you, but he died for me. All right. That's what we were talking about taking the communion last night. The question that the kids had. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and the service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do we joy and rejoice. Ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may be of good comfort when I know your state. Paul worried about the people. He wanted to make sure the people knew what he was talking about. And that's the way, same way with Brother Branham. Same way with Jesus Christ. He kept saying, repeating himself. Brother Branham kept saying, you know, these doctrinal issues all the way through that we understand them. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. In other words, look, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Paul knew there was grievous wolves getting ready to come in. I've been reading that in the book of Acts. The grievous wolves is going to come in and do what? Tear his doctrine down. Just like they're doing Brother Randall's doctrine now, tearing it down. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. He's talking about Timotheus, the same way you and I. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Remember, he's in Philippi. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly to the people. Yet I suppose it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow servant, fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my ways. Now remember this is a letter Paul's writing. So he's having to write the letter with the content. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more careful, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. That's the same way with you and I. Because for the works of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. All right, chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, because I think this is, we got two more chapters. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. I take these writings of Paul, now, truthfully, there's no way Brother Branham wrote the Bible.
No.
If you add or take away, alright, the plagues are there or your name's taken out of the book. Paul was commissioned to do that, so we have to look and see to write the same things to you. Brother Branham wrote us 1,100 sermons, or God did through Brother Branham, wrote us 1,100 sermons for us to study and not turn to the man, like most do and some do, but to turn to God. Okay, because that was the voice of God.
That's right.
In our day, just like Paul. But now remember, Paul's commission was, I've run this race. I'm coming to the end of my race. I've fought a good fight. a crown of life was laid up for me. He knew he was going to have to die. And I think at some point, Brother Branham knew he was going to have to go off the scene. Because people were, well, look what they were doing. They were baptizing in his name. They were saying he was God. And I'll promise you one thing. God's not going to share his glory with nobody.
That's right.
Not even William Branham. So he's not going to share his glory. But now it wasn't William Branham doing it. It was the people around him. Same way with Paul. I remember in Acts, Paul and Barnabas went to Mars Hill or something, I believe it was, and they were preaching and the power of God was there. And they called them Jupiter and some Greek gods, you know, because they were doing such great exploits. Well, now that's exactly what happened in the end time. You know, they made Brother Branham a god because of the things he did. But Paul rebuked them and told them, no, that's not what happened. He was just a like-minded, just like you. It's not grievous, for to you it is safe. Beware of dogs. That doesn't mean puppies. That doesn't mean Rottweilers and Bulldogs. That means the Rottweilers and Bulldogs called demons.
Right.
Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, and that word means mutilation. How about that? Well, you know what? That's what's happening now. People are mutilating the message. They're cutting it into pieces, cutting it apart.
Yep.
And look, they're not burning books. They're not cutting books up. They're cutting people to the soul. They're cutting the soul of the people up. And of course, I just want to make this one statement. If you're not grounded in God, you'll be cut up also.
That's right.
If you're not elect, you will be deceived, because the elect cannot be deceived, but everyone else will be deceived.
That's right.
Right? So just make sure the elect. You're the elect. For we are the circumcision, no, I'm not talking about physical, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Watch. Why? What's he saying? Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Did y'all know Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin? So that tells you right there. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. What's this? Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. To me, that's a great God that knows how to use somebody. Because here's Paul. Paul was the greatest persecutor of the church there ever was in the beginning. No one had the zeal to try to destroy Christians as Paul did, or Saul. Saul goes down on the road and God strikes him down, and you know the story. Now, that wasn't Paul's conversion. That's what we were talking about last night. You'd think, boy, that was Paul's conversion. No, that wasn't Paul's conversion. Paul get knocked off the horse because God told him, they led him to a city, but life had to come from the body, from Ananias. And then God appears to Ananias and said, you need to go down there and I'm sure Ananias was like, Lord, he said in the Bible, he said, Lord, that's Saul. You want me to go in there and lay hands on him? He'd been laying hands on us, but it ain't been good. Lord says, remember that Ananias said, and the Lord said, he's my chosen vessel. But you got to go lay hands on him to get them scales off his eyes and to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Paul didn't receive the Holy Ghost on the road to Damascus. He just got knocked off his horse. He just got turned in the right direction where he could see God. Because he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. His life was perfect. Concerning zeal,
except murder.
Persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. So all that two verses up through there, Paul counted them, as he said in another scripture, dung. Okay? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, there we are, that I may win Christ. And that word there is rubbish. Or, when we say dung, we know what that means. That I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, because verse 5, 6, and 7, he was filling himself. Now, not really. But he was telling you that if anybody's righteous, I'm righteous. If anybody's perfect, I'm perfect.
Right.
According to the law.
Right.
See, that's what we see in the message right now, because everybody goes through that. Well, I've never cut my hair. I've never cut, you know, I've never, like I always say about the laundry list. You got that laundry list up on the refrigerator. I've not, that don't mean nothing. Paul said it's dung. Watered up and thrown in the trash can. Because it does you no good. How many times have we seen, as we were talking yesterday, so-called what we think grounded and settled message girls, what's the first thing they do? You know, if they don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they're going to cut their hair and they're going to wear pants. They're going to put on makeup. So, the title message girl is a real loose. For some of you that weren't here yesterday, one of the questions was, why are worldly girls more friendly to you than message girl? Well, number one, I said, well, probably because if she's a real, true message girl, which there is no, you're either born again or not, if you're living a hound dog life, she ain't going to pay attention to you anyway. A worldly girl's got another intention. She's going to be friendly to you because she has other intentions.
But message girls should reach out. You know, to
ain't no such thing as a message girl.
You know what I'm talking about.
Well, no, Christian girls. Yes.
Should reach out in the spirit of Christ and not be like, I'm better than you. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but when you got a worldly guy hounding you.
Not a guy. I'm talking about other girls.
Well, that wasn't the question. The question was a guy to a girl.
I didn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was written by a guy.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it was a guy.
Okay.
Because it said dating. I hope it ain't two girls. So, you have to get the whole context of what's going on here. And let me make sure that we understand this on the internet. It was a question that was asked about date. Pretense was, is I want to date worldly girls because they're more friendly than message girls. And I do the message in quotation because there is no such thing as a message girl. You're either born again or you're not. You're of the world or you're of God. One of the two. So, so that was the whole thing was, is can I date worldly girls? Would it be okay? I think the question part of that was, is it okay, right? So I look back at Caitlin, you know, or she's way back in the back, but I see her eyebrows go above her glasses. So, but, you know, we've seen this. That's why we're trying to get the young people to see that we've already seen this. Years and years of going to youth camps and seeing the same people have the same issues, and then they go to the altar and they cry and they spit and they spew and everything else. You understand what I'm saying? Brother Brown means they snot. You know, they snot all over the place, and then the next year you see them, or the next year you don't see them at all because they're gone. Right? So if you get a real birth, it's put them grounded in the Word of God. And they were valid questions that they asked. I mean, that was a valid question. We're going to cover it more in depth the next youth Bible study, because I want people to realize, no, you should not date worldly girls. You'll get yourself in real trouble. But if you're not a born-again believer, you're going to date worldly girls because there's nothing in you to hold you. You got to have the new birth to hold you, and then you can, sure, you can witness to anybody. But remember, Brother Brown said, you don't go out there.
I thought it was a girl.
No, it's a boy. It said dating. But no, you don't go out there. See, Brother Brown said, don't you say, well, okay, I'll go to church with you, to a Baptist church, and then you come with me to a Message church. He said, don't do that. He said, you be salty and let them come to you. Because if you go out there, guess where you're going? You're going out there. All right? So you stay right here and say, hey, buddy, if you want to date me, we come to church. If you want to date, I promise you 3 days a week. 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock Sunday, and 7 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. If you want to date me, those are 3 dates. You'll get me 3 times, you know, but it's going to be in a church environment. Because if you don't, if you step out, and we've all done it, okay, so we're not all so sheltered. That's why I say I don't like message girls. I mean, you can put a picture up, and what's a message girl look like? You put the picture up, but what the devil does, excuse me, if she's not born again, the devil just takes that outside line and then goes, and she's got on a pair of pants, she's cut her hair, she's wearing makeup. Behind that, you understand? Behind that, he pulls the real veil off, and there's the person standing there. Because you know as well as I do, we've seen people that we've tried to beat into it, and you can't. You just got to be salty. You got to show them, because they're watching you. They're watching every move you make.
Can I say something? You were talking a while ago about a girl, like the laundry that, you know, growing up. And it, something has really been made real to me is that sometimes when you are born or we grew up in a message home
environment. Yeah.
Sometimes that can be like, for lack of a better word, an impediment. You know, because it's hard when you grow up not drinking, not committing adultery, not, then it's harder to know, do I have it? You know?
Because, right. You take, for example, a nunnery. We look at we don't want to say it online, but I'm going to say it anyway. The Catholic Church, they put people in nunneries, and they've got priests over there that don't have wives, and you see what's happened. They become pedophiles, and they become prostitutes because they are so put into a sheltered environment. But I don't want to, if I had a daughter, I wasn't going to say, all right, honey, for about 2 years, you need to go out there in the world and see what's going on, and then I know you'll be back. Well, be careful. Be careful. But you know what? After they get a certain age and they get going out, they're going to do it anyway. They're going to find time. I promise you. Because I did. Frida did. Nathaniel did. Now, Caitlin, I don't know. She's still got that little halo on top of her head. But remember yesterday I said it was held up by horns. Right?
That's the message, girl.
Yeah, that's your message, girl.
But the problem is, somebody's message, girl, like we said, y'all said last night, that word's what it is.
That's right.
And if you have been presented the word,
right,
you don't have...
I mean, God don't have grandchildren.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Know? Right.
That's right. Yeah, sons and daughters.
There's so many people that's not preaching the truth.
I mean, I grew up in an environment of and a prophet. We believe God's in a prophet. And sometimes that can be
hindrance.
Yeah.
Well, you resent it because it's pounded in you so much. And that's the way it was with all of us. So as soon as
didn't feel like it was pounded, but it's...
Yeah, because though when you turned 18 or got married or went out in the world, I mean, me and you both, we all, as soon as we got old enough, me and Jim got married at 19 and 18, and we couldn't come to church because we didn't have an interest. But we went, you know, because of our parents or whoever, you know. But that's why we try to at this church, we try to preach the Word of God. Let the Word of God do it.
Right.
Not emotions, not feelings, not somebody cramming it down the throat. Had it done many times, you know. But like Dad was talking about last night, you take legalism. I meant to mention last night, most legalists that were in this message
are gone.
Had adulterous issues, though. He's talking about, you know, people that talk legalism. Mm-hmm. By the time their life come up in the later years, you found out that they divorced their wife and married another girl, and then they had this one, and then they was doing this. Most of your legalists, your pure legalists, especially the ones that came from out there in that one state, starts with an A. But look at their life. You look at the people's life. When you come to the end of the road, you look back and see, that's what legalism did. It turns you into free love. That's what Brother Dale was talking about last night. It turns that into free love. It's hard to understand, and it's really a paradox, because you think, boy, they want you to be a chaste virgin. Well, you pound so much legalism in somebody.
You know what?
Well, look, popes are not supposed to have wives, right? It's well known that 5 to 6 popes back in the history of popes, had women. They weren't wives. They were concubines. And they had kids. So the pope had young'uns. See, that's against everything that you hold, or the world holds up, the pope to be so pure. Listen, we're all human beings. We're put on this earth for a purpose, and that's to worship God. But we have our lives to live, and that's why I think that the Catholic Church did wrong when they told the priest they couldn't have their wife because you're burning your own lust. And then they start messing with the boys. Now, that ain't God. But that's legalism. Every day, you know, do all your... That's what Paul was trying to tell everybody in the Old Testament. It was wash the pot, put it right here on a certain day of the year. You know, put your menorah here, light it a certain time. Paul was trying to say, it's not the tradition that we're trying to get away from that tradition and be found in Him, who? Christ, not in the law, but be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. That's that laundry list. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I didn't do this. Or I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do this. All right? Because listen, folks, without the new birth, you will do one of those on that laundry list, if not three or four or five or six. Somewhere down the line, and it's proven itself now, that the anointed ones can go so far. But when it comes to living the Word of God, the true Word of God, they fall. They find one little thing to get off of. They find one little, like, Paul talks about grievous wolves and people that are coming in and disrupting the Word of God. Listen, I've told y'all for years, the Baptists do not care about the message. They have their own thing. The Methodists have their own thing. Now, once before Pentecost was kind of interlaced with the message, now they're over here. So we're singular in ourselves. And my greatest fear is what? Apostasy from inside, not apostasy from out there. They're not gonna trouble us. Why? And here we go again. Buster over here, being a Baptist, he's a little higher than Baptist, probably closer to Pentecostal. Brother Buster Autry over here would do anything in the world to help us. Anything. Where a message brother that don't agree with you in doctrine would rather see your guts burn. Literally.
Yeah.
Right? So, show me the love of God. Exactly. You understand what I mean? But see, anointed ones, it's just so much of a blanket now to where everybody's religious. Everybody can do this. Is that right? I mean, really, it is. It's just the Word of God and the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the only thing that's going to get us out of here.
Amen.
That's it. Nothing else. No laundry list. No how long your dresses are. No, that ain't it. We wasted a lot of time all those years when we should have been digging into the Word of God. Because they would get the baby born and then they'd beat it to death. Mm-hmm. There was new birth. Don't tell me. Don't get me wrong. There was new birth in all that. But you got the baby. It's like Caitlin's going to have a baby in 9 months from now, 8 months from now, whatever it is in August. She's going to get the baby and then we're all going to go, the baby's here. And she's going to thank God, the baby's here. You know. And then they're going to just take it and put it in the room of their house and shut the door and go, well, now, that baby's in there and he's alive. Charlie's in there and he's alive. We'll go back and check on him in 3 months. Now, that's the way the people in the message have been brought up. We got the baby here. We got the hair. We got the dress. Well, it may not have any hair. We got the hair. We got the dress. Right? We dress the baby. We put it in the crib. We put him a brand new diaper on. But we're going to go back and check on him in 3 months. No, the baby's going to die.
That's right.
And that's what happened. Babies have died in this message under do's and don'ts and book of rules. It's just always been the Word of God. The Word of God's going to do it. Where nothing else will stand, the Word of God will stand. You say, well, that is part of the Word of God. You're right. It's part. It's not all.
It's the after effect.
That's right. You got to grow up. You got to become a teenager. You got to become an adult. You got to become a mature Christian. That's why we're still here, folks. I'm telling you, that's why we're still here, because we have the power. Brother Brown said you got enough Holy Ghost in you to create a world and go live on it. You do. But a bar is holding it. What bar? You. You're what's holding it back. Because if God releases that power to you, if we're not characterized by God, we don't have that character. First time somebody cuts you off the highway, you know, kill that man. You say it doesn't work. Look at Elisha. Elisha had the power of God on him. Not in him, but on him. Just like an anointed one. Because if it had been in his soul, he wouldn't have killed him. He wouldn't have called the she-bears to eat the children. But because him being a prophet, God had to honor what he said. And quickly he turned without character. Sorry, he didn't have the new birth, so he didn't have any of these characteristics. He turned and cursed the 42 children and they died. That's what you would do.
Amen.
Your boss.
That's right.
Who, you know, you're this and you're that. You name all these people that you want to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God's not going to release that power until you're able to forgive them all.
Thank the Lord.
Forgive them all. Not worry about what they've done to you. Jesus Christ hung on the cross, not worrying about what people done to him.
Amen.
Amen. So that's the way you have to do. But I may know him. Watch y'all like this. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now see, there's a lot of people. We'll cover this just real quick and then we'll go upstairs. Because I'm going to stop right there. Right there. Because on this scripture right here, if you look back in the history, the people that were around Paul was preaching that the resurrection was going to happen during Paul's time. Because he said that right there. That I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul had to come back later on in another letter, and because Brother Brown covers this, that everybody thought the resurrection was going to happen during Paul's day. Paul says, no, no, wait a minute. There's got to be this great falling away, like Chris was in Galatians. There's got to be this. The resurrection's not going to happen during my time.
That's right.
It's going to happen at a later time. But see, when he preached this, other people took it and said, well, Paul's preaching that the resurrection's coming right now. See how misconstrued you can be if you don't have the Holy Ghost. You'll be messed up when you see that. And what is he talking about? He's talking about an out resurrection. In other words, he was resurrected from the dead when he got the new birth. You and I are resurrected. That's why we don't have to die again. We'll never die again. We may fall asleep, but we'll never die. You died when you received the new birth. You're dead. You're dead in Christ. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Right? So that's what Paul's telling right here. He's saying, hey, that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And then people took it once. That's the same way with Brother Branham. Where do they get their false doctrines from in the message? They get it from the message. You know, open your Bible. We know there's only one God. We know water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know there's no eternal hell. We know all these major doctrines. Well, the guy down the road in the Methodist Church, he opened the same Bible, preaches the Trinity, preaches water baptism, name Father, and Holy Ghost, uses the same Bible. They don't change it. They change the revelation, the interpretation. So the interpretation they got wrong, but Paul's telling them later on in another epistle, he says, look, we gotta look for a resurrection of this guy. Resurrected sitting in heavenly places. This guy, not the physical guy, but the physical guy's gonna come up in a resurrection. But it's not going to happen right now. But now listen. It is now. This is the time of the resurrection. This is the resurrection message. The Son of Man is the resurrection message. Because only the Son of Man resurrected. Amen? So if we're under the Son of Man ministry, that's why everybody keeps hollering, Son of Man, Son of Man. They don't know what they're talking about. It's a resurrection message. We got to get the dead saints out of the ground first. Then we're changed. Then we go into rapture. There's a process. So we have to preach the Son of Man message so much as Jesus did when he said, Lazarus, come forth. But it won't just be Lazarus. This time it'll be everybody. Let's go. Did you have a question? Okay. All right. Let's go.